Court reporters hold one of the most important roles in the justice system. We're entrusted with the official records of the courts, and we also have to run our own businesses, which is not something most of us were prepared for. I'm Bryn Seymour, freelance court reporter and life coach, and I invite you to join the discussion about the problems we face and the solutions we create on the unique journey of a stenographer.
Welcome to the Entrepreneurial Court Reporter Podcast.
Okay, good evening, Al. How are you?
Just great, Bryn, just great.
Thanks for joining on the Court Reporter Podcast today.
Well,
very excited to talk to you.
Looking forward to it.
Great. So one thing that I really appreciate about you is that you actually told me in advance what questions would be good to ask, which was so helpful. So, and the question that you provided was an amazing question. Basically, what is your opinion or philosophy? You use the word philosophy. I like to use the word opinion about life as a whole in general. Just if you could elaborate on that, that would be wonderful.
My opinion of life in general. Wow. Wasn't expecting that one. But, life is great. I love life. Once I figured it out, I liked it a lot better. I'll just give you a little history of me. I grew up in a really small town. My dad was a steel worker. My mom worked in a textile mill. So I'm a blue collar guy. That's how I grew up. And, I wound up in court reporting school. And, a year later, I wound up working in the big city of Baltimore. And I'm a blue collar guy. I knew nothing about the professional environment and working with professionals. And back then, which is a long time ago, we basically were taught how to use the machine. We were not taught anything about the soft skills or, you know, how to conduct yourself in a professional environment. And so I had to learn all those things. And I was a shy guy anyway. So court reporting was great for me because I didn't have to talk, just work the machine. And so I made a lot of mistakes early on, and then began to gradually, of course, figure things out. And I'd say the last 30 years or so of my life and career have been really, really great. A lot of doors have opened up, and I've learned a lot, learned how to, you know, conduct myself and how to build relationships. I think life is all about communication and performance, those two things. If you can master communication and if you can perform in an inspired manner, a lot of good things are going to happen for you.
And when you say perform, do you mean, what kind of performance do you mean?
All kinds of performance, whether it's performing, and I put that in quotation marks, but I guess maybe behavior is another way to say that. Basically, just how to conduct yourself, how to perform as a brother, as a sister, as a son, as a daughter, as a spouse. I mean, there are ways to do things and ways not to do things.
So it's not like performing in a Broadway show.
No, I mean, that could be part of it too, if that's what you do. But I mean, when we're out doing our reporter thing, we're performing.
Yeah.
People are watching us, watching what we do, and they're always in amazement. And there are certain ways that you can put people at ease when you're reporting. One of the things I like to do, Bryn, is when I'm particularly, I'm reporting a very difficult witness, and I know he's difficult or she's difficult. Maybe it's very technical, and I can feel the eyes of the lawyers and maybe some of the paralegals are looking at me, and basically they're saying under their breath, "I wonder if he's getting it. I wonder if he's getting it." And so what I like to do is I like to look right at the witness, and I like to kind of do a little one of these, just a little bit of nodding, follow the testimony along, so people who are watching me can assume that I'm getting it, whether I am or not. But, you know, but anyway, but to put them at ease, to give them a certain peace of mind, And I think that's important. So those little performance things are really important. I have a female client that I work with a lot, and she told me one day that she liked it when I showed up to report her depositions, because oftentimes she was the only female in the room. So she's in there with all these male attorneys, and they're all trying to, you know, intimidate her and that kind of thing. And she would get very upset about it. And she told me that, you know, she would leave the deposition room all upset. She'd get back to her office and she'd blow off steam, and maybe she'd yell at the paralegal or whatever. And she hated that, but that was how it impacted her. But she said, when I was there, she could always look over and she could remind herself of my smile, and she could see me smiling, and it put her at ease. And I was amazed when she told me that. I had no idea that I would have that kind of an impact. But you just never know. You don't know how people respond to what you do. So your performance and your ability to communicate and be aware when to use what skill is really really important. It's gotten me a lot of work, I will tell you that.
So how long have you been a court reporter for?
Well, I will tell you this. I'll let you, you're probably good at math, so handle this challenge. I took my first reporting assignment in 1969.
Wow, okay.
It's a little while back.
You have more experience than most of us.
Yes.
Amazing. And are you still working currently as a court reporter, like on the jobs and everything?
I am. Yep. The only thing I don't do anymore is real time. I probably could do it, but I it's not something I feel comfortable doing anymore. So I stopped doing that, but everything else I do.
Okay, cool. So one thing you said is that court reporting is great because you're shy and you don't have to talk. And I agree, like that's so, I always say that's such a, it's such a cool job that we have, that we don't have to, we just get to observe all the drama and all the craziness and all the confidential things that go on behind the scenes, but we don't have to actually get involved, which is great. We get to just be observers, like on the sidelines, and just see it all happen. What most people wonder, like what goes down in those depositions, what goes down in these lawsuits, but we get to observe it all. So it is really cool. I appreciate that too.
Absolutely.
And so I definitely want to talk more about the communication and performance aspect. I know you wrote a book. Is your book related to helping people learn how to perform and how to conduct themselves in a professional setting, or regardless of whatever they're doing?
It is. The first book I wrote is called Polishing the Pearl. And that book was kind of my first attempt at writing. I wanted to see how an audience of court reporters would respond to what I had to say. And I had one chapter in there on silent communication. And everybody just loved that chapter. They wanted more, which is why I then wrote Outfluence, the Better Way to Influence. And, there's a lot in those books about communication and performance.
Okay. So how should a court reporter conduct themselves? What would be one tip if you could give us one tip? Because actually you said, one of the things you said was that, you know, when you went to court reporting school, they didn't teach you how to really conduct yourself or how to act, what your responsibilities were beyond kind of just writing on the steno machine and how to write, basically. But you said that was how it was back in the day, but I honestly still think it's like that, because I myself feel like we're trained on how to write on the steno machine. We do learn a little bit about courtroom procedures and things like that, but I didn't retain much from that. And I find that, I don't know, I just feel like there wasn't enough training on how to conduct myself. What is the proper etiquette? What do I do in this situation, in that situation? And how, because like, I really want to be as professional and as highly respectful as possible. But sometimes we just are in such a unknown situation that we don't know what to do. So tell me, what would be your tip for me and for others who are like me?
I think probably the biggest tip, if you will, is just to be aware. You got to be aware of your circumstances and know who you're working with and know what they want. There's some lawyers who just freak out until they see the court reporter arrive because they're just afraid they're not going to show up. So with people like that, you know, I make sure I get there a half an hour early just so they know I'm there and they don't have to worry about that anymore. So just, you know, being aware of what your clients want and what the situation calls for. There are some cases. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you run your own business as a court reporter, like an agency kind of, or do you just work with clients like attorneys directly?
We do have a team of reporters that we work with. Yes. Yeah. We started our company in 1977, I believe it was. So, I mean, to be honest with you, we're, you know, at this age, we're starting to slow down a little bit. Plus I've got some other things that I'm doing in addition to court reporting. So we're in a transition probably, but I still love reporting. I love going out and working with clients and, you know, it's gotten to be so comfortable now. It's hard to stop.
Yeah. So, okay. So basically knowing your clients, but when we're working for agencies, the agencies don't tell us those details often. They just kind of send the assignments without even sending the caption sometimes, without sending much information, just like, okay, here's the date and time and location, and no estimated duration, no information about how the clients are or what to expect. So what do you recommend in that kind of situation?
Interesting. Well, that's part of the reason why I joined Identimap a couple of years ago. It's a technology company. And we are all about understanding personal traits and how to recognize them quickly and how to respond to those traits.
So that's the thing. You keep talking about that. And I wanted to know more about that. So perfect. Tell us.
Well, one of the things that happened over the holidays was Identimap decided to formalize its court reporting division now. So we now have a court reporting division within Identimap, and I was named the president of that division. So you're going to hear a lot more about, you know,
awesome.
Available for court reporters. But honestly, Bryn, that is one way to do it, because you can walk into a room and you can know within a minute or two who you're dealing with, what their traits are, or what their dominant trait is anyway. And most lawyers, I mean, they're going to be, what do I want to say? They're achievers or high achievers. And so a high achiever is pretty domineering and wants to be controlling the show and all that sort of thing. So with somebody like that, you don't ever want to step on their toes. You want to follow. You don't want to lead in terms of a conversation. If they don't want to do anything more than say good morning, that's fine. You just do your thing. And just provide the service you're there to provide, and just don't engage them in conversation if that's not what they want, and they'll let you know pretty quickly if it is or not. So it's those kinds of things that you can learn from identifying people's traits, plus knowing your own, you know, how you would respond. I mean, you probably could talk to us now for 5 minutes about how you respond when you know you're in a room with a power player. You know, you probably know what you have to do. A lot of reporters don't, as you say. And to be honest with you, we hear that in corporate America. People are coming into their workplace and they don't understand how to communicate. They don't do it very well. They think they can communicate in the office the same way they do out on the street, you know, or in the nightclub, mm-hmm. or whatever. You know, obviously you can't do that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to be learned there.
Okay. So I saw your post on Facebook about, you asked the audience, are you an entrepreneur filled with passion or filled with emotion? And does it matter? Can you elaborate a little more on that? How do we find out if we're an entrepreneur filled with passion or emotion and why it matters?
Well, first of all, if you're a passionate person, you're intense, and whatever it is you're doing, you want to be good at it. You're passionate about it. You love what you're doing, and it's really important to you. If you're an emotional person, you're all about the outcome. if it doesn't work out the way you want it to, you're devastated. And when you're in an entrepreneurial setting, you know, if it's your company, you want to have a lot of passion. You want to be intense about what you're doing, but you don't want to be so emotional about it that you get upset at everything that doesn't quite go your way, because it's never going to go your way in business, mm-hmm. right? We always have problems here or there. And the whole thing is about for sure. How you overcome those problems. So you want to have passion, but you don't want to be an emotional wreck. You don't mm-hmm. want to be that way about it. So yeah, it's good to sure. be passionate. You don't want to be emotional about it.
Right. Yeah. It's an important, and again, this goes back to like life coaching and things that I help my clients with in that aspect, is how to direct your thinking to create the emotions that will actually help you get your business going forward rather than stuck in the same place, because it's really interesting how our emotions are responsible for a lot of our actions. Like, we take action based on how we're feeling, but yeah. sometimes we think our feelings are, we can't choose what we're feeling. It's just like, it just happens to us. But actually we can, based on our thoughts. Like, the feelings come from our thoughts, not from the circumstance. So a lot of times we blame our circumstances or whatever like is happening around us on the way we're feeling and on our results. But really it's because the way we're thinking about the circumstance.
You're absolutely right. A number of years ago, I showed up at a client's office for a deposition. And we were doing real time that day. So, you know, back then we had cables and all kind of stuff to set up. And so the secretary took me back to the room and set me up and said, "Here you are, Mr. Best. We're going to be in here today." So I get everything all set up. You know, we're 5 minutes away from the start of the deposition. And she comes running in. And I could see by the look on her face. I mean, she was panicked about something. And she said, "Mr. Best, I'm so sorry. I put you in the wrong room." Yeah. Now, yeah, my first reaction could have been to be really upset and show that. But here's what I do, Brim, before I go into every deposition. I say, this is going to be great. No matter what happens up in this room today, it's going to be great. So that's my attitude going in. So when she said that, I just said to her, I said, "Mary, no problem. Where are we going? Where are we going next?" And right away, you know, the panic was removed from her face and we were just fine. And so, you know, that's a great opportunity there to make a new friend, right? She's never going to forget that situation. And you know, the lawyers, you know, I can sit up in 5 minutes, no big deal. You know, if they have to wait a minute or two, they're fine with that. So it's that kind of stuff. Like you just said, you know, you control it going in.
Right. Yeah. Because everything, there's a positive and a negative way to look at everything, but it doesn't help us to look at it in the negative way. It helps us only to just find the thing that's positive or that's neutral, at least, about it, and just be happy with it.
Now, the long-term view of that, Bryn, is I had a client, and in this particular case, they were local counsel for a huge international New York-based law firm who had a big case in our area. And the big New York firm was telling our local lawyer that he really was having some court reporting issues in his case. I don't know how they got on that topic, but anyway, they were talking about it. And my local client said, "Well, listen, why don't you try out?" And the big corporate guy said, "Okay, on your word, I will try out." Now, the long and short of that is that client became a huge client for us. We did literally over $1 million worth of business with him. And he eventually became attorney to the president of the United States a few years back. So this is a big time guy. And if we had screwed up, our local client would have looked bad in his eyes, may have cost him business in addition to costing me business. So by performing the way you and I are talking about, when an opportunity comes along, your client, you want your client to be willing to step out for you and, you know, find some opportunities for you. And I've had that happen a couple of times, not to that extent. That was a big one. So there's a lot of reasons why you want to inspire your performance and get your communication under control.
And those are the things that you talk about in your book?
Yes. Well, there's something called constant messaging. And that's something we developed. My wife and I did constant messaging because, you know, we're always messaging no matter what it is. I mean, you're messaging by the things that you wear and, you know, the way you fix your hair, all that sends a message about you. and how you care about yourself. Constant messaging is a cool thing. I always tell my audience members when I talk to them about email, for example, you know, if you send exhibits or a document of some sort to a lawyer, don't just say, "Hey, Miss Jones, here's the document I told you I'd send you today." Find something personal to say. If you know that lawyer happens to be in another city or another state, you can say, I saw you had some bad weather today. I hope it's sunny tomorrow. You know, just something that brightens their day a little bit and takes totally out of the business realm and, you know, gives you a little connection.
Yeah, definitely. It's the little things that make a difference.
Huge, huge.
Where can we actually get your book?
You can get it at our website, albetsreporting.com or at outfluence.com.
Albetsreporting.com and outfluence.com?
Yes.
Okay. And can you share a little bit more about the book and why it's beneficial for people to read it?
We tell a lot of stories in it of other people, not just myself, other people who have done neat things in terms of the way they communicate. And it's not just here in the United States. We've got stories from other countries as well, because that's important to know too, as our culture changes and we have people now that we're living with that are from any place in the world. And we have to know a little bit about their culture, a little about how they live so that we can communicate better with them. So that's part of the book. And I've got another section there, and I forget how many of them, it might be 25 or so, little stories that have a purpose that teach you something. So those are kind of fun. It really teaches you a lot about communication and performance and that sort of thing.
So it's kind of like a worldwide, like just for everyone and anyone. It's not really specifically focusing on court reporting, is it?
Polishing the Pearl is all about court reporting. That's the first book. Outfluence is 90% about just general communication and performance. It's not totally about court reporting.
Okay, that's cool. It's something I'm really interested in, learning other people's cultures, other countries' cultures, because, like, for example, at the church that I go to, it's like people from all different nations come. And so we amazingly get along with each other, even though we're from Asia, America, Africa, like all different countries. But being able to understand each other is so important. We can so easily misunderstand people and their intentions because we have different cultures. Like, for example, there's an exercise we did at the Korean Cultural Festival hosted by ASES, which stands for Save the Earth from A to Z. It's like the university student program, volunteers from the Church of God. They held this festival where there's a program and you can actually do this activity where you learn the difference between the Western and the Eastern mindset and how our minds immediately translate things into mean something completely different than the other person thinks. And it can come off as offensive. It can really ruin relationships if you don't understand the other person's culture. So I really think that's amazing. I'm totally interested in that book.
One of my friends is a film and video producer. He worked all over the world. And I can't remember now which country it is. This is awful. He was in one country and was invited for dinner one evening. And you know, at this particular meal, you take off your shoes and that sort of thing. But he said, it's in bad form to show the bottom of your feet in this particular country. People take great offense to that. So you have to be careful when you sit down and you've taken your shoes off that you know, somehow cover your feet. Either you have to do it from a kneeling position or whatever. It's in the book. You'll see it when you read it.
Oh, wow.
But it's a cool story and things you just wouldn't think about, but you have to be aware of.
I think I would have offended a lot of people if I were there.
I know what you mean. And also, you know, we deal with witnesses from all backgrounds. And so, you know, you want to engage the witness when the witness comes in, make him or he or she feel comfortable. And in a hurry, you have to figure out a little bit about the background of this person. Is this a well-educated person? Is this a person off the farm? How am I going to talk to this person? And what am I going to talk about? And so, again, the traits have something to do with that. And just, of course, just observation. I mean, I just love it. I mean, I absolutely love communication and learning about how to talk to people, how to build a relationship, and how not to just turn somebody off by saying the wrong thing. So
it really is important.
Huge for court reporters.
Yeah, especially like entrepreneurial court reporters, because business is all about relationships and connections. And we underestimate the value of a connection with someone and like a strong connection, being able to build a bond with someone, how valuable that is and how many opportunities that can lead to.
Bryn, how much time do we have? I have a story I want to tell you about that. Do we have time?
Yeah.
If you have questions, I don't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead. I want to hear your story.
Yeah, all right. When I wrote Outfluence, A Better Way to Influence, a gentleman emailed me. He saw it on our website. He said, "Al, this is a great book." He said, I would love to have you come on to our radio program. My friend is the host of the program, and he would love to talk to you about this." And they were based in Kansas City, Missouri. So I said, "Sure, I would love to do that." So make a long story short, I on the phone at that point, we didn't have Zoom yet, got on the phone and we had a great interview. And he asked me if I would be willing to come to his studio in Kansas City to do an in-person interview. I said, "Sure, I would love to do that." And so we did that, had a chance to meet the host of the show. And I really liked the guy, and I wanted to build a relationship with him. Now, this guy was a Silicon Valley entrepreneur. He's written 14 books. He just taught at Stanford, taught at Kansas University. I mean, he managed businesses in different parts of the world, including in Iran when the Shah was in power. So this was a heavy duty guy. And wow. And I had nothing in common with him other than my book and the things that I wrote about, because he was interested in communication as well. So make a long story short, I kept showing up in his life by listening to his show week after week. And I'd write him little notes and say, "Boy, I love the interview you had today," and this and that. And Bob would tell me, his name is Bob, he would say, "Al, I love the way you just keep showing up." And that was my plan, was to show up in his life. So make a long story short, Bryn, eventually he invited me to join him in one of his businesses. Turns out it's Identimap now. But at one point he said to me, he said, "Al, do you know why I invited you to come into my company?" I said, "No. Why? I'm interested. Tell me." He said, "Whenever I'm considering a new business partner, so I look for three things. I look for tenacity. I look for integrity. And I look for creativity." And he said, "I saw those three things in you by the way you conducted yourself." That has been just a gold mine for me in terms of dealing with people in my own business, the people that I let into my company. Those are three things I look for: tenacity, integrity, and creativity. And so that may be something that would be of interest to the people that you deal with who are entrepreneurs themselves. And yeah, especially because you just never know who's walking in that door.
Absolutely.
But he was judging me all this time, and I had no idea that he was looking for these things. So it was very, very interesting, very cool the way it happened.
That is really cool. And you had those things.
Thank you.
Now I want to talk a little bit more about the personality assessment. So what is the value that we can get from doing this personality test? And also, how do we, I wish I had, you know, gone back to try it one more time before this interview so I could explain exactly what happened when I was trying to take the assessment. I think it was like there was so many options to select from, like when you're selecting what type of personality you have. But I think that my issue was that I couldn't find the right one that actually that I felt was like perfectly descriptive. Even though there were so many options, I think there was one that something that came into my mind that I thought would describe me better, and it wasn't there. And then there was something else that happened, but yeah, so go ahead.
Here's the deal, Bryn. When you take that, there's 70 words, okay? And the idea is not to think about it. It's just to go down the list, and your first instinct will tell you whether to check this or not. You don't want to think a whole lot about that. That's not totally helpful, because even the things that you don't pick say something about you, right? So that all goes in, that's all fed into the algorithm and the way this has all been put together. So the idea is basically just go down. You're going to have to pick 20 of them, 20 words that you know describe you at some level. And so just pick those 20. Don't give it a whole lot of thought. I mean, you can take it again if you want.
Yes, I'm going to.
But you really don't want to give it a whole lot of thought. You really want to just have it be something that it's already within you. So you see that word, you see the word that says that you're, God, now I can't think of any of the words, there's so many of them. But anyway, but don't think a whole lot about it. Just pick 20 and hit the
submit. I'm definitely an overthinker.
Yeah, you don't want to do that with this. That is not the best way to do it. I mean, you can do that, but it's not the best way to do it. But the whole idea is, number one, the goal of this it's strictly for business people and professional people to help in recruiting, to help in hiring, to help in managing. This is not a deep dive psychologically. We're not looking to tear your brain apart and figure out why you do what you do necessarily. It's really to give you a very quick read on who you are as a person. And then we give you some other tools to help you build up your traits where you think you would like to be a little stronger. Because there are four traits that we all have them. We're all either analyzers, we're achievers, we're encouragers, or we're listeners, and we're listeners. One of those is your dominant trait, and that's what this will pick out for you, which one you're dominant in. And then the other three are various percentages lower. So once you take the survey, the results come back. It shows you on a percentage basis what your traits are. It gives you a description of what they are and what they mean. And then there's more information that you can buy if you want, more information that we give away that's free. So because, you know, we give away a lot free, but we have to make money too sometimes.
Yeah.
So we do charge for some things. But in a nutshell, that's what it is.
Okay. So basically you go onto the website, and what's the website for this?
Trek, T-R-E-K, trek42.io. I is
okay. So you go on, and there is a very long list of things you can check off that describe you. And then you submit that, and you get some free information on what type of person you are and how to apply that to your business or to your life. And you recommend that we do this for ourselves, and also for any, if we're thinking about hiring someone or working with someone as a business partner or working with someone as an employee, or, you know, in some capacity like that, you recommend like sharing this with them as well, right?
For sure, especially a new court reporter, because that court reporter may be an analyzer, which might make them a more interested and better performer in scientific type of cases, because they like to analyze things, and they could get into it a little bit more and maybe have a better understanding of what's being talked about. Or you may have somebody who's an encourager, and that's a reporter you may want to send out on a certain customer who likes to be, you know, talked to and engage with the reporter. So you want somebody there who's an encourager, who's going to want to do that. So those are all reasons to have them take the survey, give you a better insight as to who they are and where you might place them.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was hiring my transcript manager, who's basically like, she assists me in everything related to the production of a transcript, but the job description, or the title that I call her, is transcript production manager. And I remember when I was posting that job on Indeed, there was an assessment that would kind of filter out applicants, and it would select and it would let me know what their score was on this assessment. And it would kind of give me an idea of how quickly they learn technology softwares and how good they are at learning new skills, especially computer related. So that I found to be very helpful, but it didn't, like, she's been working with me for 3 years now, or more than 3 years now. And I've been wanting her, like, as I expand my business, I've been wanting her to help with other things other than just like that, those administrative tasks with solely the transcripts, because my business is very creative and has a lot of different sides of it, and I want her to be more involved. So I think that would be a good way to get to know what would be a good fit for her. Maybe I'll have her take that personality test too.
Yeah, it's a very good way to do that, and she shouldn't be threatened by it. As I say, you know, we don't do a deep dive in it or in this psychological thing. This is really just to figure out who you are. That's really mm-hmm. all it is. You know, and it would benefit her as well, because it enables you place her in positions that will make her happy and productive. Yeah. So there's a lot of benefit to it.
Absolutely. That sounds amazing. Thank you. You've provided a lot of insight, and you have a lot of resources that all of us court reporters and entrepreneurial court reporters and anyone who's listening to this can access online. So just to summarize, make sure I got everything, because I was taking notes. So you have... Oh, you also have a podcast called Stenographer's World.
That's
correct?
That's right. And on this coming Saturday, by the way, I'm interviewing Mark Kislingberry.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that one. Okay, so Stenographer's World, you can find that on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And then we have albetsreporting.com for information about all the books that you've written and all the things that you do, and track42.io.
That's right, then a map. And then outfluence.com. You can get the books at outfluence.com as well.
And does Albet's reporting. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That wouldn't have like a map to all these other things, because that's more just like your reporting.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm really poor at, Rin, is keeping my websites up to date. I have a lot of stuff out there, and I'm not very good at managing them, I'm afraid.
Well, I mean, that's not easy. It's hard work to keep up with that stuff, especially when you're a working court reporter. And that's another thing that I talk about, how kind of building a team and getting other people to help with that is so important, because we don't have time to update websites and things like that. Especially
sure.
With all the troubleshooting that comes with it.
Yes, absolutely.
Unless your personality is someone who's very good at that stuff.
And mine's not.
Neither is mine.
Well, this has been great, Bryn. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
And, yeah. Do you have any other words you want to share with anyone who's listening, and just words of encouragement or any last things to share?
Well, I would encourage people to get on my email list for Trek 42 at Identimap, because I'm going to be sending out a lot of information and you don't want to miss it. This is new stuff to the court reporting world. And I think it's going to be very beneficial as time goes on. We've gotten a lot of good feedback. We have several hundred reporters that have joined us so far, and we're looking to get a lot more. So,
and the way to get on that email list would be going to trek42.io
and take the survey. That's the best way to get on. Everything grows from there. Yep.
Okay, so thank you so much for your time, and this podcast will be released on Apple and Spotify and the major podcast platforms, and in the meantime I'll post the recording on Facebook so everyone can watch it.
Thank you, Bryn.
Thank you so much. Have a good rest of your evening.
All right. Bye. You too. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Court Reporter Podcast. This is completely not for profit and will always be. This is a collaborative effort to help all court reporters in our industry. It is not to help benefit just one or two people. The experiences that we hear on this podcast shouldn't only be from one person, but should also be from all other court reporters who are willing to share. I'm looking to collaborate with you. If you're open to sharing any of your experiences, maybe you have a horror story or something that you've overcome, something that you learned, maybe a funny story, anything that you have that you think would benefit the court reporting community, you can join the Entrepreneurial Court Reporter Podcast Facebook group and send me a message there, or you can reach out through my website, courtreporterconnection.com. I can't wait to hear from you and to see what we can create together. Bye.